Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 scores scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't know.
No.
I'll talk to D Rose.
Yeah, guys.
Matt, well, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
The Locked On Bulls podcast.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Matt, how are you? Very excited to listen to Arturis Karnišovas talk and some of the things that he had to say over the weekend. But how are you?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Doing well. Yeah, man, it's just really refreshing and exciting every time we get to hear AK talk since he took the job, just because it's not John Paxson's voice anymore. It's not Gar Forman anymore. And it is kind of weird that this is this strange situation we're in with the pandemic and the fact that, you know, the Bulls overhauled their front office, what, more than a month ago now, and we're still just getting these, like, you know, grainy sound bites from an AK Zoom meeting with media or other members of the Bulls organization. It's definitely a weird way to kind of transition and integrate this new voice who's now running all of basketball operations. And I can't wait for, you know, the day when we finally get AK and Eversley to sit down, you know, at the podium at the Advocate Center to do an official press conference. Because I feel like it'll feel more real then. There's just this weirdness of our current climate. It's like there's this guy over in Denver or wherever AK is right now who gets on these Zoom meetings with media and talks about the Bulls' path forward. And it's like, is this real? Is this actually real?
It is. It's bizarre. And these, man, I just like, as somebody who likes crystal clear audio, I am cringing at all of these Zoom conferences and trying to listen and decipher what guys are saying. And, you know, we had Zach LaVine like eating dinner while he was doing his or eating lunch the other day. And you could just hear him like clanking the plates and stuff. It's weird. We're all having to adapt and adjust. So, AK was really good, though. I thought this was really, really awesome to listen to him talk about three different chunks of topics that were brought up while discussing offseason plans, the Bulls' plans to try to figure out how they're going to assemble some type of offseason with being one of the eight teams that were left out. Also, too, just a little bit on the NBA draft. And then the big bulk of what AK talked about was the evaluation process, Jim Boylan and the coaching staff. And I guess you could even address it as to the players, too. Some of the comments that AK made feel like kind of would resonate with the same questions you might have about, well, who's going to get traded this summer and who's off limits and how much do you really need to evaluate these guys? So we're going to get into all of that. But I wanted to kick it off with AK's opening statement about the season and just his thoughts in general before we get to the questions. So let's hear from AK.
So there are complicated and extraordinary times that we have faced globally and as a nation. And while keeping things in perspective that we are talking about the sport of basketball, sports play an important role in our culture. And I assure you, there's no one more anxious than myself and my colleagues to bring basketball back to the city of Chicago. It's tough to try to close a chapter or a season like ours during a time when our country and the world are in disarray. That said, we haven't even stepped foot in the city. That is the reality. However, that hasn't changed our targets and objectives. We want to spend time internally to assure that we are thorough in our appraisals. Our intention was to be able to return to play at some point and have the opportunity to make informed decisions. There are several unprecedented circumstances beyond our control. We have been limited in certain obvious ways. So our objective is to use this time in innovative ways to create opportunities for our players and coaches to encourage development. I know that you're anxious for me to comment definitively on our future of Chicago Bulls. I understand that anticipation. You know, that said, I take pride in being deliberate and thoughtful in my decision making and take the weight of my decisions seriously. I'm not inclined to make evaluations prematurely to satisfy our excitement to move this team forward. I deeply respect and value the role of media. I look forward to getting to know you all, as I believe we share a passion to see success of Chicago sports franchises.
Thought that was really good, and I thought it was even better than what we initially heard from Karnisovas when he was introduced to the Bulls. It was like really the first time anybody had a chance to speak with him. But Matt, I like the thoroughness, the direct comments from AK, and even just like speaking to the fan base as a whole is like, hey, I'm not gonna go out there and move somebody just to appease the fan base and just because we're all excited that this is a new chapter of the Bulls. I want to do things right, and I want to take the time to be able to do that. So I can definitely respect that from AK. I also liked his comments about the media and understanding the importance. It's a good way to start here in Chicago.
I think so too. Obviously, it's a difficult situation for him to be in because he's trying to get a thorough evaluation of what exactly he's coming into and what the jobs are that he and Eversley have on their desks right now to try and get this organization back on track. And because they haven't been able to actually come in and observe, they can't come in and watch Jim Boylan run a practice. They can't come in and evaluate the young talent that's on this roster. I understand that he's not trying to jump to certain conclusions when he feels like they have a thorough job that needs to be done. Certain things that they can do while we're all in lockdown and quarantined and they can't, you know, get into the Advocate Center, like filling out some of his staff, hiring Eversley, hiring some of the other people that we've seen him hire, you know, Pat Connolly and other members of the development staff. And, you know, adding the assistant GM from the Pelicans to help with the books and all that kind of stuff. And then also dismissing Gar Forman, knowing that our philosophies were not in sync and that was an easy thing to decide. Whereas the future of Jim Boylan is something that Bulls fans are all waiting on. And you and I had a discussion about it, you know, the other day about, well, if you fire Jim Boylan now, do you put in an interim head coach of some kind for this weird and abnormally long offseason that we have while AK and Eversley need to evaluate this talent, who's going to be running the practices? So I understand that there is not this just swift action even after we got the confirmed word that the Bulls season was in fact over and that they were not going to be invited to the bubble in Orlando. A lot of Bulls fans thought, okay, well, now that we know that the season is over, we should be hearing about a Jim Boylan dismissal any day now. That's still not the case. I think AK explained his reasoning why pretty well. Before we move on to some more thoughts on Karnisovas and his words with the media, Jordan, wanted to tell our listeners that today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's almost impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX or an EX, et cetera, et cetera? And wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us?" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. RockAuto.com.
So I thought the opening statement was great, and that leads me into our first real chunk of stuff. So like I had told you at the beginning, we kind of broke this up into three different sections of what Karnisovas had talked about. And the first one I think is most pressing is how the Bulls ended up being one of the eight teams out. Were they advocating for going down to Florida? What Karnisovas thinks they're going to do with the eight teams to allow them to practice, get together, have scrimmages, some type of quasi summer league, anything like that. So here's his first comments on eight teams and when he'd like to see players and coaches start to arrive in Chicago.
Well, we are selling a bunch of things to the league to involved. Eight teams, players, coaches, and staff, you know, to, again, creative ways of developing our players. The teams are left out. So it's going to be up to the league. It's going to be some of it is going to be conversations with Players Association. So we still waiting for direction, although we exchanging a lot of conversations and proposals with the league.
At what point will you be in Chicago, and at what point do you want your players to be here at least?
Well, I'm on my way. In terms of players, there's going to be conversations. Probably the players that are in the market, they're already been coming in to Advocate Center for individual work. So we'll hopefully I'll be able to see them. The players out of the market, we'll continue talking to them. And once we have more direction from the league, we'll propose a bunch of plans to our players, you know, for the summer.
All right. So were you expecting at all the idea that, you know, that the NBA and these eight teams are pitching ideas on how to keep them involved? Because like a lot of the players talked about, Matt, whether it be Thaddeus Young or Zach LaVine or even Thomas Satoransky, who's been speaking out with Czech media, talking about coming back and playing a full season after an 8 or 10 month layoff, it's going to be almost impossible to, I don't know, to me, it feels like it's almost impossible to evaluate guys. And the Bulls are in such a critical spot right now with all of their young players. And this is a crucial point in development, too, that to give the front office, the brand new front office, and maybe even a brand new coaching staff, the period of time to work together with these guys, it sucks that they can't all get together in one spot, at least right now. Hopefully in the near future they can. But what do you think about the idea of the NBA pitching these eight teams, or these eight teams pitching to the NBA some type of quasi, I don't know, summer league-esque tournament?
I mean, I understand that they're trying to find different ideas and ways to get the other eight teams involved in some capacity. And I don't think that bringing all 30 teams to Orlando would have been a wise choice, considering all that is this massive undertaking to make sure that the conclusion of the season happens as, you know, with as few risks as possible when it comes to the, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic that we're still dealing with. And in a lot of places, it's making a huge second wave already, especially in states that reopened too early. So bringing, I think they said the number now, the goal is to keep it to 1,600 people for these 22 teams that are being brought back, and that maybe after the first round of the playoffs, they'll allow small numbers of family members of players on those teams that are, you know, in the second round of the playoffs to join the bubble. And because there's a million undertakings and everything that goes along with testing, bringing all 30 teams back and increasing that number of 1,600 by, you know, X amount just wouldn't have been prudent. It would not have made any sense at all when you're talking about minimizing risk. So a different bubble, a different, you know, like an NIT kind of tournament for the eight worst teams in the NBA. I get that everybody wants to be included. But the bottom line and the ugly reality for Bulls fans and the organization itself that they have to face is that they sucked this year. And I'm sorry, if something like this happens, and yes, it's an unprecedented situation that the NBA is in right now, but, and Zach LaVine said it himself, like, hey, we didn't win enough games. We weren't good enough. It sucks, and I hate that our season had to end this way, but it is what it is. So I won't be clamoring for some kind of activity or tourney of some kind, summer league this or, you know, et cetera, for the Bulls to participate in with those seven other teams that are in the basement of the NBA based on, well, they deserve to play too. Because guess what? They don't deserve to play. That is the reality of their record. 20-some games under 500, they don't deserve to keep playing in these conditions. I also am aware that 9 months or whatever is a long, long, long layoff for a team to not have any actual 5-on-5 basketball against other NBA caliber talent. So if they can figure out a way to do this safely, then sure, fine. But I'm not going to be, you know, in the streets with torches and pitchforks saying, how dare y'all exclude the Bulls? You have to let them play. Nah, they didn't earn it.
Speaking of the time layoff, Matt, let's hear from Karnisovas about the 8-month layoff and some of the obstacles that are going to be had, I guess, by all, not even just the Bulls, all eight teams. And we heard Zach say that yesterday, and we can even get to Thaddeus Young commenting on it too at some point this week. But it seems like all of the players have some type of concern with this. So here is Karnisovas' thoughts on it.
I do agree with you that, kind of not playing for 8 months put us in a competitive disadvantage. But again, I think there are creative ways to do so. Collectively, I think these eight teams, we're getting now on calls and we have conversations how we can, develop our players and how we can have structure in place, you know, to get some practicing and possibly some scrimmaging in off season to catch up to those teams that are going to be playing. So the work, you know, obviously never stops. And I, you know, inform players that, you know, we will inform them depending on what the league is going to allow us to do this summer. And we're going to go from there.
So it's not great. Let's put it that way. And, you know, it might be good for guys like, say, Chandler Hutchison or Otto Porter Jr. or even Wendell Carter Jr., the guys that have struggled to stay on the floor and stay healthy. And it seems like one thing after another happened, especially Chandler Hutchison. And I would even throw Denzel Valentine into that category. I would hope that both of those guys, and maybe even on top of Otto Porter Jr., all three of those guys are working their ass off this offseason to get in the best physical shape they can to get back in December and hopefully play all 82 games. Like, that would be the goal, and it's a good thing for those types of players. But for the guys that were on a roll, and for guys that didn't want this 10-month layoff, such as Zach LaVine or a Coby White or even Lauri Markkanen, I don't know, maybe the time off is good for Lauri, but I guess we'll see. But still, the overall point is coming back after 8 months of hibernation, essentially, is not going to be the greatest from some of these guys. And I think, Matt, it's going to expose a lot of the players that didn't work hard during this quarantine, didn't work hard during this long layoff, and that's really going to be exposed when the Bulls come back.
I think so, too. It'll be interesting to see how, well, like what the initial reactions are and the initial words we get from AK and Eversley and their staff about specific players on this team. You know, and we'll get to Lowry specifically in a little bit, but it's especially interesting to me because we've heard in recent years that the organization has kind of thrown players under the bus in calling them out for their off-season workouts or lack thereof, or their work ethic. Like, you remember that whole storyline with Chris Dunn?
Chris Dunn. Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Right. Like, that was a really weird thing that all of us were like, we read that. We're like, wait, what? Like, the organization's calling out Chris Dunn for not working hard enough this offseason? What the heck is that about? But again, and that was the old regime. So how will the new regime step in and handle the evaluation of, okay, who's been working hard? Who's, you know, working on their game and improving their game? Which players do we maybe need to specifically put a little bit more on work with to help them, because maybe they're not doing enough to help themselves?
Oh man, I forgot about that Chris Dunn storyline, man. That was so bizarre. And it was all stemming back from some critical criticism Dunn had for the way that things went that during that season and how he got hurt and some of the things that he didn't like that were happening. So, and you and I both, since Chris Dunn has become a Bull, we were like, if there's anybody on this team that works their ass off, it's Chris Dunn and it's Zach LaVine. Both of those guys have proven time and time again that they work their ass off. So for those guys to get, well, for Chris Dunn to get called out, it was so bizarre. So yeah, you're right. We'll get to Markkanen in a minute. And we want to spend the rest of the episode talking more about Boylan, because I felt like the majority of the 25 minutes Karnisovas talk, about 40% of it was in terms of Boylan and how he's going to evaluate him. But before we do that, I want to tell you guys about Built Bar. Yes, you know Built Bar. Been talking about Built Bar every single week since the start of May. And they've been a wonderful sponsor for the Locked On Podcast Network and a wonderful sponsor for Locked On Bulls. Appreciate everybody out there who's gone out and tried Built Bar. We've been getting a bunch of tweets and a bunch of text on our text and voicemail line of people trying different flavors, saying that they absolutely love Built Bar. And the reason is, it's because it's a protein bar unlike any other. It tastes exactly like a candy bar. It's covered in 100% chocolate. And Built Bar has 20 amazing flavors for you to try. 10 chocolate nut flavors and 10 chocolate nut-free flavors. So somebody who is allergic to peanuts, don't worry. There's 10 different great flavors for you. Built Bar is great for the healthy conscious guy or girl in your life. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low in calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. My dad and my mom are actually on the keto diet right now. And so they're, you know, my mom especially, she's got a sweet tooth. And so she's looking for something in between the day where she can maybe break off half and still get that little bit of chocolate taste without completely ruining her diet. So these have been perfect for her. Check out the peanut butter brownie one, for example. 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of net carbs. One of my favorites, the peanut butter and chocolate flavored one, and also the mint brownie one is fantastic. And you can stick these in your freezer too if you like frozen candy bars. I know I stick all of the chocolate, especially in the summer when it melts, stick it in the freezer. You pop one of these in the freezer for 15 or 20 minutes and it is fantastic. So go to builtbar.com, builtbar.com. Use the promo code Locked On. You'll get $10 off your first order. That's promo code Locked On for $10 off at builtbar.com. That's builtbar.com. Promo code Locked On. And if you do decide to order, tweet at Built Bar and also tweet at us, and we will make sure to give you guys a shout out. So thanks for supporting Built Bar and all of the sponsors we have here on the Locked On Bulls podcast. When you guys support the sponsors, you support us, and we appreciate that. So Matt, let's hit real quick on Lowry Markkanen. I feel like this kind of transitioned into what we were talking about, players having that long stretch. So they were asked specifically about the comments made on the Finnish podcast. Markkanen was on a couple of weeks ago. And overall, just like the conversations Karnisovas has had with Markkanen since he's become part of this Bulls organization. So let's take a listen.
Well, I've spoken to Lowry numerous times. He's been very patient, stayed in the market. His now family is with him. I spoke to him about last year. He's eager to get back to the gym and improve. He was disappointed, obviously, by overall result. You know, every player wants to win. He's about winning as well. So our objective is to get the best version of Lowry next year. And, you know, we agreed in conversations that this is our objective and we're going to try to do it. So, you know, besides that, I'll, you know, looking forward to meet him face to face. And again, before, you know, accountability, I have to have a personal relationship with him. We'll set the expectations, you know, which are pretty high. And it's about improvement, you know. Each player, you know, from talking to them, they were, again, disappointed with the last year's result. But we, again, we're going to strive to get better. And same thing with Lowry. We have a lot of time in this offseason. We're going to schedule. We're going to put a plan together for him. You know, we'll do that.
Curious what that plan is, because we know the success line Karnišovas has with big men, especially guys that have great touch, great handles, and Markkanen's the same. I mean, if he can do that with Nikola Jokic, man, who looks like a large version of the Pillsbury Doughboy, but yet can handle the ball like Kyrie Irving and shoot like some of the best guys in the league. I mean, I would say it's pretty safe to say, feel pretty comfortable with Karnišovas taking over the reclamation project that is Lauri Markkanen. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm impatient in, like you said, like, okay, what, you know, we have a plan to help Lowry and really, you know, figure out what went wrong this season and get him back on the right track. And I'm sitting here being like, okay, cool. Tell me what the plan is. It makes me think of that. That two-parter Office episode where, you know, Michael leaves and they're trying to find like the new regional manager, like the search committee with a bunch of cameos, and Will Arnett is one of them. And Will Arnett's like, yeah, I actually have a three-step plan that will effectively double your profits. And Jim's like, cool, let's hear it. And Will Arnett's like, oh, no, I can't tell you. I can't tell you my three-step plan. That's how I feel right now. It's like, okay, we're so desperate. Those of us who are Lowry believers are like, please, for the love of God, fix this guy. So, but it's just like the Boylan thing. It's like AK is like, everything's a very measured approach right now. And based on everything that he has done successfully in his career running basketball organizations, I have faith that he has a plan that will get Lowry on the right track. I'm just impatiently waiting for the fruits of that project.
Man, we got teased. We got teased last year and we both even said it. We're like, we're not going to let this temper our expectations, or I guess mess with any of our expectations for Markkanen. But damn, man, it's tough now looking back and knowing that it's somewhere inside of Markkanen, there is a 20-10 or 22-12 type of player there that can shoot 35-38% from three and actually be a dominating potential in the two or even a number one with hopes. So there's still plenty of time with him too, which is a good thing. I mean, him, White, Wendell Carter Jr., and even Zach LaVine to some extent, man. He's 25. He's only 25, and the dude has had an ACL surgery too, which we don't, you know, of Bulls fans, I don't think is mentioned nearly enough when talking about some of the criticism Zach LaVine gets from people. I mean, the dude is one of the highest scoring players in the NBA last year. I mean, night in and night out, and that's 18 months from an ACL. So I give Zach LaVine a lot of credit, too. I am very impatient, though, too, Matt. We've been waiting a long time, and we endured 3 years of really, really awful basketball. And I mean, maybe you could even dabble in that final season with the three alphas. You could even say was sort of miserable at times. So I'm
sort
excited.
Sort of miserable? That season was a train wreck.
Oh, hey, the two playoff games are exciting.
Oh my gosh, imagine if Rondo didn't hurt his thumb. Bulls were going to the conference finals.
Remember Fred Hoiberg blowing up about that? Remember him complaining about Isaiah Thomas carrying the ball in game one? Maybe it was game one or game two. That was like the only time I ever heard Fred Hoiberg get heated, and that was in the playoffs. So, yeah, I don't know. That was miserable, but... It's good to hear that he's got some thoughts and at least they've got a plan in place for Markkanen. So it seems like they're going to use every opportunity that they have to make this offseason count, even if they have to get creative with it. So, all right, Matt, we're approaching the 30-minute marker here on our podcast, so I want to make sure we get this in. So let's talk a little bit about Boylan. First, let's hear the quick response from Arturis about evaluating the coaching staff and Boylan, and then his follow-up on the process it's going to be like over the next, I don't know, several months, it seems like. So let's hear from him.
Well, Joe, it is hard. You know, I haven't met face to face yet. You know, there haven't been any practices. There haven't been any games since I became a part of this organization. You know, so I really take pride in my relationships that I cultivate with, you know, coaching staffs and, you know, my basketball operations staff. So I haven't seen them. I'm looking forward to it. So I think, you know, after we found out that we left out of the bubble in Orlando, I think we will have all the time in the world to do so. So I'm looking forward to that. Well, coaching in the league is very difficult, you know, and to make a decision about, you know, coaching is really hard. It's probably the hardest thing for executives. So I look in a lot of aspects. Again, I've had numerous conversations. That said, you know, I would like to be in a building, to be in practices, to be around, you know, the coaching staff in meetings. We're looking forward to getting in the video room together, you know, analyze the games, to watch games together, you know, talking to players and, you know, coaches, obviously everybody's disappointed by, you know, with the results of last year. They definitely underperformed. But watching games, I'm excited to watch because there's a lot of talent on this team. And I'm, again, in order for me to keep players and coaches accountable, I have to have personal relationships with them. And that's what I need to cultivate. That's my objective of this offseason.
I think that's really good. I think it goes to your point previous, Matt, talking about some of the players that have been kind of kicked on their way out. And that's not just players. It's been coaches, too. Look at the string of coaches that have been kind of they've been kind of kicked out when, you know, or stepped on after they leave. And the relationship isn't 100% great. I mean, players, you can just think recently, Bobby Portis, although he said he loved his time here in Chicago, the way things ended sucked. Jabari Parker didn't have a pleasant experience here. Even Jimmy Butler towards the end, just because of the contract talks and all of that. And Dwayne Wade not wanting to take a buyout at first and kind of the rocky relationship they had there. I mean, the list goes on and on. Nico Mirotic wanting to basically be traded or have Bobby Portis be traded. So there's a whole list in line of players, but also it goes to the coaches too. Think about Fred Hoiberg and Tom Thibodeau, the way that they were canned. So I think that's important for AK to talk about the relationships he wants to develop, and not only with the coaches, but with the players too. And it starts by showing that with the guys that he has already. He's got to build it up, and it's got to start somewhere, even if it's with guys that aren't going to be here long term.
I think so. I think a lot of this is just about correcting the mistakes and trying to, you know, right some wrongs and undo some things. As far as, you know, damage of perception that the old front office has done to this organization. And that list is long, and it is overwhelming when you start to think about all of the examples of the Bulls and how they've run things over the last 17 years and all the people that they have kicked on their way out of town, players, coaches, and otherwise. It's not pretty. It doesn't look good from a PR perspective. And you have things like, even just recently, I believe it was our guy Joe Cowley talking on your radio station, 670 The Score, about a very well-respected coach in this league who's been around the NBA for a long time as a player and a coach, Rick Carlisle, whose comments recently were like, we got them secondhand, but suggesting that Carlisle has been informing coaches around the league, like, keep your distance from the Bulls. Don't take the Bulls' job. Yikes. And again, whether it's that comment or comments going back to you know, the things that got John Paxson so heated in one of his radio interviews when he was talking about interrogations versus interviews and denying that there's this bad public perception of the Bulls organization out there. Perception is reality when it comes to stuff like this. So that stuff about Rick Carlisle, whether or not that that's true, whether or not it's taken out of context, et cetera, that doesn't matter. What matters is people have heard that now. And that is just one of the latest examples of the damage that AK is tasked with undoing. He inherited a gross, gross situation. He inherited a mess. So the fact that he's trying to be measured and calculated and thorough with every step he takes is not, maybe it's making Bulls fans a little impatient right now when it comes to certain elements of the you know, lack of firings that they want and just overall running of the business since he's taken over. It's also a smart move because he's got to make sure, as you said, that they're making every step having thought about all potential variables and how to best go about fixing the organization's PR problem.
Baby steps at this point. All I can say is that, and I mean, we'll wait till the basketball actually gets back on the floor in December, but it feels like, Matt, we've taken a couple steps up the sidewall of where we were at in rock bottom, 20,000 feet deep. It seems like now we've taken a couple steps forward, so hopefully we don't slip and fall back to rock bottom, but I think that remains to be seen. But I'm pretty confident, man. I mean, between him and Mark Eversley, I think is going to be a great fresh start, one that the Bulls definitely needed. But I think it is important for Bulls fans, for you and I and every other Bulls fan that's out there and listening, that this, you know, they've asked us for patience before, and that was an old regime, and they're going to ask us for patience again. But hopefully a lot of people will give them the benefit of the doubt, knowing that this is a whole new front office coming in here and things are going to be run differently. So having a little bit of time and a little bit of patience can definitely help, and hopefully that means adequate results too. That's what we've been asking for a very long time. On Boylan, I thought this was interesting, and we should we can wrap with this. The process of getting to know Jim Boylan and how he's going to make some of those evaluations and not being able to see people face to face, because even something that he had talked about in his opening presser, Kardasovas, was he loves talking to people face to face. He feels like he gets to know them the best when he's right in front of them. So this has been kind of a difficult avenue, and I guess a difficult obstacle for Kardasovas to get over. So let's hear from him finally, just on more on the coaching evaluation and how he's getting to know Jim Boylan, not face to face.
Church, kind of piggybacking off that, you know, obviously with Zach and Thad saying they've already spoken to you, and I'm sure numerous other players have already spoken to you. How do you have to make sure that the information you are getting from the players is consistent and is not agenda driven, where a guy may have a beef with this coach or a guy may have a problem with the system, and when you're not in that building and able to see how things function, how important is what the player's saying being weighed, and how do you make sure you don't buy into someone's agenda?
Well, Joe, it's very hard. You know, I need to be there. I need to see it by myself. As much as I could, you know, talk to players and their experiences, you know, previously. I'm looking forward. They looking forward to changes, improvements. I think all of them are disappointed. None of them, you know, were expecting to win 22 games, and I think they cannot wait to get back in the gym and waiting for more direction from us, and we're gonna provide them with that. Well, it's hard, you know. It's hard with Jim. It's hard with all coaching staff and the players. You know, as much as we talk on the phone, you know, they don't know me. So that is my number one priority when I get in the city, when I get in the building, is to get to know our coaching staff, meet the players, and start the process of getting to know each other. And again, before, you know, the accountability, I got to know them before, you know, we keep each other accountable. So I will cultivate, you know, selfless attitude with the players. And there's not going to be any excuses. The youth, the injuries, all that stuff is not, is not going to be an excuse moving forward, because this group is too talented and, not to perform better. So.
And just one follow up of MA guys. Thanks. You mentioned the draft process has begun. Obviously you added, the additions that you did, but you've also, from what I've been told, been leaning on some of the people currently in place. What have you been able to value from the current front office structure? And do you foresee any other changes or additions to the front office structure this offseason?
Well, so far, I don't see any immediate, changes, but we've enjoyed kind of draft process, because, in the beginning we were thinking that the draft stays the same. Now we have somewhat of a tentative date of October 15th. So that gives us even more time to evaluate players. I disagree with, some of the opinions out there that it's going to be, in terms of quality of the draft. I think it's going to be a pretty good draft and we're going to get a good player. So I think we are ahead of, our evaluation time. We've had numerous, interviews with players, and, we've had so much video work done and, conversations about certain players. So we're ahead of the curve right now, and we have a lot of time to do even more. So I'm looking forward to that. It's exciting.
Any overall thoughts? I just thought it was good to hear on what his process is going to be of trying to evaluate Boylan. And I think it just goes all back to what we were kind of talking about, Matt, with trying to lay a foundation of good faith with coaches, even just to the tweet that you were talking about from Rick Carlisle and some of the comments that Joe Colley made the other day on The Score. I think this is all part of it. And I think he's not even just doing this with the coaches. He's doing it with any of the front office members. He's doing it with the players too, trying to form those relationships with that, which I think is so, so important.
It's definitely important because this organization has spoken a lot recently about the whole, great communication. Like they've been bragging about their excellent communication since they fired Tibbs, and that letter firing Tibbs and explaining the firing was talking about how Tibbs was a problem as far as the lines of communication and trust throughout the organization, because Tibbs had a problem with Gar and John trying to insert their authority on his practices. So they brought in Fred Hoiberg and they're like, oh, Fred, such a great communicator. He's going to be great. The communication, it's the best communication ever. We have the best communication. And it's like, okay, how many different examples of poor communication were there in the Fred Hoiberg era? Whether it was players kind of having fights within each other and the organization denying that, Joakim talking about, Fred's comments about me going to him and saying, hey, let me come off the bench instead of starting. That never happened. And then all the way through all of the chaos of the three alphas season under Fred's watch. No, they brag constantly about being an organization with great communication and continuously show us the opposite of that. So when it comes to a new voice coming in and taking the reins and trying to, again, as I said before, fix a lot of these problems and fix and undo the damage that has been done, to hear that being actually supported by the other people in the organization, especially the players. If you're talking about your new GM, Mark Eversley, and AK Bull saying, we want this to be a players-first organization, that is a very important detail that players have come to say, man, AK and his staff, they have been so great with their communication so far. It seems like everybody's, on the same page. Everybody's been very supportive. And that is a change. That is a change towards the positive, because that's one of the big problems. The Bulls were just loving to throw around the word communication and claim that they were great at it, when in reality they sucked at it.
It's a good way to put it. It's definitely a good way to put it. I thought even like the sneaky comment from Zach, just saying like somebody had asked him, you know, who coordinated all the Zoom conferences between you and the players, like the weekly Zoom conferences and constantly staying in communication. And he goes, I think it was AK. I'm pretty sure it was AK that put it all together. So like those small steps that like I even felt like Zach LaVine made it an emphasis to give AK some credit of keeping those guys connected. And again, hits back on that theme of relationships, wants the players to stay in constant communication, wants them to see each other when they're not all directly here in Chicago. So I think that's a good thing. It's been very great. It's been very, very great to hear Arturis talk the last two times we have been. And hopefully throughout the summer, we'll be able to get him talking a little bit more, maybe more directly about the NBA draft, which could be very interesting. We know the knowledge he has about the draft is astounding, especially international players. So I'm excited to not only hear from him, but Mark Eversley and who else has been helping them evaluate, because we already know they've been starting to talk to prospects. They've had video conferences with them. They've also been doing a lot of evaluation on tape, already diving into that. So they weren't sure when the draft was going to be. And in these weird times, they need to be prepared for anything. So at least now we've got about two solid months for them to do some of that evaluation, and then they'll actually know where they're going to be picking. So I felt like this conversation was fantastic, and I'm glad he was able to address a lot of those things that people were wondering about. Anything else, Matt, that stuck out from AK that you wanted to touch on?
I'm not particularly, man. I just I'm very excited. That's like that's my main thought every time I hear AK talk about where this organization is going and how he's going to lead us there. It's unfortunate that we have this great long pause right at a time when the fan base is trying to feel optimistic about the future, because we finally got the front office changes that we've been crying out for years. And there's just this long wait for the Bulls to actually be on the court again. So that part sucks, but I'm trying to stay positive and think about all the good things that are on the horizon and the not too distant horizon, hopefully, because I think if there's anything that you can give Jerry and Michael credit for, the little credit they deserve for these developments, is that they listened to John when John finally swallowed his pride and said, you need to bring somebody else in here to fix this. And they appear to have hired and approved the hires of some pretty darn good people.
I am with you. I am with you. I think it's going to about do it for us here at Locked On Bulls. If you guys got any comments over the last 2 days, what we've played from Zach LaVine or from Arturis, hit us up at 331-979-1369. Have a very special episode for you guys tomorrow. So we did this thing called Delete 8, which was all the 8 teams that were not a part of Disney World's fun starting up in August. So we wanted to do some mock drafts about where these 8 teams would be picking, who would be picking what. So that's going to be coming out in a series of episodes throughout the next few weeks, even maybe a month. But we started off with, as the lottery looks right now, without actually doing a simulation or flipping the ping pong balls, each one of our 8 teams decided to do a mock draft in those 8 slots. So again, us, Matt, and I both picking at 7. We won't reveal who we picked, but tomorrow we have a crossover episode with the Locked On Hornets podcast and Doug Branson. So should be excited to talk about him, his process overall of what they're going to decide and where they need to be at in this draft, and maybe have some trade hypothetical conversations going on. So that should be pretty interesting. So hopefully you guys enjoy that. But again, mailbag will be later this week. Hit us up, 331-979-1369. Text messages and voicemails. You can always tweet at us at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. Thanks to our sponsors at RockAuto.com and Built Bar for sponsoring today's episode and all the episodes over the cross May and June. Check them out. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
We haven't had a whole bunch of hot guys. Hopefully we'll have more. And how many hot guys have we had? Hot guys.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com